All right, let's take our Bibles together, and I'm actually going to ask you to go with me to the book of Acts, and I'd ask you to find Acts chapter 2. All right, once you've found it, would you look back up here at me, please? Awesome. Everyone got it? Acts chapter 2. So there was an announcement made regarding the upcoming men's retreat, and men, I obviously want to encourage you to be a part of that with us. If you've never gone with us on a retreat before, we just have a great time. But even more importantly, something is coming up right soon, and I want to highlight it. In your bulletin, you actually have a half-sheet insert. You see that there? And this is particularly for our ladies here in the congregation. So our women's ministry has worked really hard on putting this event together. And ladies, I want to strongly encourage you as your pastor to please do everything you can to be a part of this day, September 22nd, right here at the church from 9 a.m. to noon. You can see the description of the event. You're going to be encouraged. There will be great fellowship. And we really just want to encourage you ladies to be a part of that. And I also want to say a word to us husbands and those of us in here who have a wife that would like to come to this event. Maybe you have children, and so, fellas, it will require us to watch the children that morning, but please, let's do everything we can to allow our ladies to clear their schedule that day so that they can be here a part of this event, okay? All right, it's going to be a great time of fellowship and another wonderful opportunity for the women of our church, young and old alike, everybody. This is a great opportunity for you to get to know some of the other women around you in the congregation. And we want to continue to foster those sorts of opportunities in the church, okay? And so let's support that, okay, ladies? Put this on your calendar. The 22nd of this month, right here, you'll be blessed, and I know that it will be good for you, good for your walk with the Lord, and good for building relationships with those here within the fellowship, okay? All right, you've turned to Acts 2:42. That's where we're going to be in just a moment, and we're gonna pick up the Gospel of Luke next week, really launching into that series that we'll be beginning, the Gospel of Luke. But before we do that, I really wanted to take just a couple of minutes this morning, if I may, and I wanted to do some reminding. All right, it has been said that pastors are to teach the untaught. Right? So I have a responsibility. Our pastors, our elders have that basic responsibility to teach the Word of God and to teach those who have been untaught. We have the responsibility of, at times, having to persuade the skeptics, right? To bring the skeptics to the truth and to try to persuade them of that truth. And at other times, I find that my responsibility is to exhort those within our church family who have perhaps become discouraged or tired, frustrated. And then sometimes, as a pastor, I find that my responsibility is also then to do something called reminding. I'm to remind us of the things that perhaps we've already learned in the past, things that we've already heard, and we know that this is actually modeled in the Scripture. Did you know that? That often the prophets, we look at the epistolary literature, for example, there it's often reminding people of things that have been said in the past, even under the old covenant and how it connects with the new covenant. The truth is that sometimes our knowledge, the things that we've heard in the past, it might actually be buried under a heap of neglect, or we get busy, we get focused on other things, and so the things that we've been taught, the beliefs that we have acquired in the past, they become muted by the experiences of life and right where we are right now. And so I this morning want to take a few minutes and I want to remind you of some things. And particularly, church, I want us to be reminded of the goals that we set forth for ourselves at the beginning of 2018. I want us to take some time to come back to those goals, because my guess is that many of us have forgotten what those goals were. We haven't considered that in any sort of relative way in the recent future. And so I want us to consider that. I want us to think about those goals. And I want us to ask ourselves, how are we doing in regards to some of those goals that we set out for ourselves as a church family at the beginning of this year? And you'll remember, I'll put this verse up on the screen for you, but we adopted as a theme verse for this year, Colossians 3:17. Okay, here it is. And again, if you're new around here, if maybe you've come in the last several months and so you weren't here during this time when we put forward these goals, this will be new for you, and you'll be able to kind of get on the same page with us, and that's what we want. But here's the verse. We adopted, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this idea of both word and deed, the recognition that we have a responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ to put forth the gospel in every way possible, in word and in deed. So we speak the gospel. We tell people of Christ. We share our faith with others. But then we also what? We live in a certain way in which the gospel can shine forth in our life, so that people can hear in our words that we're talking about Christ and we're doing everything we can to communicate the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and that he lives forevermore. And he did this so that we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might have the gift of eternal life. We encourage people to repent from their sin and to believe in this message of hope that is in Christ. Amen, church? We're called to do this, but we're also called, are we not, to live in a way that shows forth the love of Jesus Christ, that communicates the gospel in our actions and in our deeds. And so we set this verse forward at the very beginning of 2018, and we said we want this to be the theme that we gather around this year, and we're going to strive together as one body to do this. And I gave some very specific ways in which I thought that it would be good for us as a church this year to seek to do this, to promote the gospel in both word and in deed. And I want us to be reminded of those areas today. And, you know, here we are. We're three-quarters of the way through 2018, aren't we? You realize that? We've basically got a quarter of the year left. And so let's kind of do a health checkup here this morning. Let's consider, how have we done in some of these areas by way of reminder? And the first area that I brought forward at the beginning of the year 2018 is in the area of fellowship, And that's why I've asked you to turn there to Acts chapter 2. Now again, I'm reminding you of these things. I'm trying to set forward here a pattern of reminder that's actually found in the Scriptures itself. Romans 15, let me just read this to you. In verse 15, Paul said, "But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles." Paul also said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." And then he said this, "To write the same things to you is no trouble to me. It is safe for you." In other words, I've said some of these things to you in the past. I'm going to say it again. In Jude 5 and Jude verse 17, again, we find the author there saying, "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And you must remember," he says, "beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." So I want to remind you what we talked about regarding this challenge of fellowship, fellowship? How am I doing in the area of my fellowship with one another? Again, here was the text that we referenced, Acts chapter 2, look at verse 42. It says, and they, this is the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And the what? Yeah, and the fellowship. And then notice what it says, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So this was the simple pattern of the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they were people of the book. They were people of the word. And then they fellowshipped together. They broke bread together. They prayed together. What was the result of this simple pattern? Verse 43. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were gathered together, and they had all things in common. And notice the outpouring of generosity that takes place as a result of this. Within this early church, it says they were selling their possessions in verse 45 and their belongings, and they were distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So there were needy folks within the church, and people were noticing it, and they were like, we can help them. We can feed them. We can clothe them. We can care for them. Verse 46, day by day. So this was a constant thing. And notice, attending the temple together, breaking bread, where does it say? In their what? In their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. So this was the result. God was at work. The Spirit was at work in such a powerful way. They've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They're fellowshipping. They're breaking the bread together. They're eating together, literally. They're praying together. They're sharing of the things that they have. They're helping one another. And they're gathering in their homes, and they're with each other. And the result in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And then the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So the church is growing, right? People are being saved. You know, churches come up with all sorts of different strategies, but it's right there. It's so plain. It's so simple, isn't it? So one of the things that I challenged our church about earlier in the year, and those of you who were here at that time, you'll remember this because I spent some time for a couple of weeks really just kind of pounding this nail, so to speak. And I want to bring it forward again by way of reminder, and I want to ask you, how have you done? I challenged you, among other things, to intentionally eat with other people in the church. How many of you remember me talking about this? Yeah, many, many. Intentionally eat. One of the best ways that you and I can connect with other people is to simply share a meal together. Every week we have roughly 21 opportunities to eat with someone. That is if we eat 3 meals a day. Consider inviting a friend or a family member who might not have a relationship with Jesus Christ to simply share a meal with you, with your husband, with your wife, with you and your children. I said, consider even here at church, consider coming to church and thinking about a Sunday lunch with others in the church. Maybe it's something that you actually seek to plan out in advance by approaching someone in the church that you've been seeing perhaps for a while, and you say hi to each other, and maybe you even chat for a few minutes out in the lobby area after the service is over, but the relationship hasn't really gone beyond that, okay? You enjoy that person. You can tell that there's a good camaraderie there, but I said maybe take that relationship to the next step. Press into that thing. Consider saying to them, hey, do you have anything going on today after church is over? Let's go grab lunch. There's a lot of great restaurants right here in the area. Maybe you would have to plan it in advance. You would have to say to somebody after a service, you know, hey, I enjoy talking with you, and I'd just like to get to know you a little bit better. Can we plan a lunch after church? Or maybe it won't work Sunday. Maybe it will work during the week. But what I encouraged us as a church family to do was to consider taking that next step of pressing into some relationships with people around us. And I encouraged us to do that in a way that forces us, led of the Spirit of God, to step out of our comfort zone even. And then I also said, if you receive that kind of an invitation from somebody, if someone approaches you, I encourage you to do what? To accept the invitation. To say yes. Knowing that it took a lot for that individual to muster up the courage, perhaps, to do that. To ask somebody that they just have a very surface relationship with to go that next step below and see what God might do in terms of developing a real friendship in the days ahead. And so I'm bringing this forward again, and I'm doing it because, brothers and sisters, listen to me. This is core Christianity. It really is. This is basic, simple fellowship together as brothers and sisters. And a pastor such as myself, in our context here, particularly in the West, in America, where we're all so busy, and we tend to live isolated lives. We tend to live in our silos, and we get really busy, and we're caught up with things, aren't we? It's just true. It's just true. So in order for us to create this kind of relationship with other people, we have to be really intentional about the pursuit of it. And one of the things that I believe is that if we will be intentional together in this way, we will find tremendous blessing in that. We will develop some new relationships, some new friendships, friendships that may very well be the kind of friendship that you go, boy, I have been looking for this kind of a friendship for years. And God will bring that to you as a result of your effort, the energy that you put forward in this area. Now, after I brought this initial challenge at the beginning of the year, for the first, I would say, couple of months, after I brought that to the church, it was really encouraging. As I greet people out here at the doors, as you know, I stand out here after the services and I welcome people who are coming in, and I try to greet as many of you as I can who are leaving. And it was so encouraging to hear people that were just coming up to me weeks after that challenge had been put forward and saying, Pastor Dan, I had the best lunch last week with so-and-so. And they shared how, man, I invited him, I invited her, and I had other folks coming up to me and saying, Pastor Dan, thank you so much for putting that challenge out, because somebody, and they would name the person's name, came and invited me to go to lunch, and we did this together last week, and it was so great. I really appreciated that, and it's been a wonderful experience, and I was so encouraged by that. And some of you had that experience because you did that, or you received that sort of an invitation. But as often happens during the course of life, we tend to end up back in our patterns and in our routines, don't we? It's just the way it is for all of us. You're not unlike anybody else around you. And so, as a pastor, it is incumbent on me to come and circle back around to these kinds of things, and yes, to bring forward simple reminders of things that we've already heard in the past. And so here we are, we're three quarters of the year through this calendar year, 2018, and I'm putting it back in front of you again, and I'm asking you, will you consider doing that? Why? Because it will increase our fellowship as a body, all right? It will. And there are some other ways in which I challenged us to do that as well. I encouraged us to join or to participate in an existing ministry in the church. One of the best ways to get to know people is to jump in and serve with others. And that's one of the things I've heard again among those who are serving in various areas of ministry, and there's lots of opportunities. And by the way, in regards to this, I want to say
To God be the glory. Remember, I put forward that need that we had in the area of Awana. We needed a couple of folks to step forward because the class was actually capped until we could have some more volunteers. Well, to God be the glory, we've had some folks step forward, and that class was uncapped. Amen. I think it was the Cubbies class, actually. So some children who were on the waiting list are now able to be a part of the Cubby program, and we're just so thankful for that. We really are. So God is moving, God is working, and there are these wonderful opportunities all throughout the church in a myriad of different ways. So I want to ask you very directly, are you currently serving in any area of the church? Are you serving anywhere? The one thing that I would encourage you to consider is that because we have two services, 9 and 11 a.m., there's always an opportunity for you to attend a service on Sunday, even if you serve in an area of ministry, because in all of our areas of ministry, we work very diligently to try to allow an individual who's serving to worship in one service and then to serve in the other service. Yes, it will require on those Sundays that you're serving to be here a little bit longer than normal, perhaps if you're used to just coming and attending a single service. But we also work very hard so that you aren't on in terms of serving in an area every single Sunday. All right, we know that that becomes difficult, and so we try to continue to have rotation so that that isn't the case. But that's where more people makes that easier in terms of scheduling, doesn't it? If you have more people serving in an area of ministry, you can spread the load, you can spread the weight out so that one person isn't missing a service every single Sunday because there's nobody else here to do it. Thankfully, we haven't encountered that a whole lot. A few times through the years we have, but thankfully, God has been good to us. But there are still openings. There are still areas in which we need more laborers. And I'm asking you, if you're not currently serving in any area of the church, would you consider pursuing that? Let me just give you a couple of ideas of ways in which you can serve. I've mentioned before our children's ministry, which is obviously in full motion this morning with our children. We've got the youth ministry here on Sunday nights, middle school, high school meets, and of course our Awana ministry meets on Sunday nights as well. Our International Friendship Center, which meets during the week here and also on the weekends. It's the evening classes. It's all during the week. I'm sorry, it's not on the weekend. It's during the morning and the evening during the week, but our International Friendship Center offers ESL classes for those who need to learn English, those who are coming into the United States, and it's a wonderful opportunity to build relationship with the immigrant population in this area. We just had another call this week from somebody who heard that we offer ESL classes, and she reached out and said, hey, can I sign up for this class? And so, folks, we need more help in that kind of area. So if that's something that's close and near and dear to your heart, you can be a part of that. There's a sewing class that's offered down there as well. What a blessing to be able to sit down with someone to teach them how to sew. Our food pantry, did you know that every month we have a food pantry here called the Harvest Loves Food Pantry? And it distributes food to people from all over the community. And it's done in a very respectful way. Folks set up an appointment, and there's a team of people that serve faithfully in that area month after month after month. They could use your help. If you wanted to be a part of those distribution days or even helping organize all of that, let us know. We can plug you in there. Our ushers, our greeters, our connections ministry, we can use more help in that area. If you'd like to greet folks as they come in on Sunday morning and give them a bulletin and make sure that they're comfortable and they know where things are, we could always use more help there. We have a security team in the church that makes sure we're safe. If you'd like to be a part of that, let us know. We can put you in contact with the right person. Our sound, our media team, our worship team, our men's and women's ministries that you heard announcements about. Young adults, there's a young adult ministry that meets on Thursday nights. Pastor Mike leads that. I know he would love to consider having you perhaps be a part of that with him. I'm just saying, I could go on and on. There's so many areas, but you guys, listen. Consider if you're not serving in an area of ministry at all in the church, Would you consider joining and being a part of that with us? You'll be blessed in that. And then in this matter of fellowship, okay, let me remind you that the chief, the primary way in which Harvest for years has sought to disciple people has been through our small group ministry. Our small groups gather in homes throughout the week. There's actually a group that meets here on Sunday mornings. They gather together here early before the service starts. They've chosen that. It's more convenient. And we allow the leaders and the groups to form and to decide their own times during the week that's going to be best for the folks that are involved in that group. We've got a couple of new small groups that are going to be launching this fall. So there's some new leaders that have stepped forward. And I want to ask you, have you ever considered joining a small group? Here's what happens. People come together. We study the Word of God. We pray together. We hold each other accountable. Some of the groups actually will break bread together and they'll have food. So folks are bringing food or somebody provides that. And I know that that can be difficult to get out in the middle of the week and to come out in a cold evening, especially in January and February, to leave your house when it's dark. And we've led a small group in our home for years now. And I've been a part of small groups in our church, but I got to tell you that in terms of relationships, some of the best relationships that have been most beneficial and fruitful to Julie and I have been those relationships where we've gathered week in and week out and we've prayed with folks in our church and we've studied the Word of God together in that intimate setting within the home. There's just something about that, isn't it? There's something about gathering together in a home like that. And again, we come back to Acts 2:42 and we see that that's exactly what the church did in verse 46. Notice it says they what? They were in the temple, yes. So there was this corporate gathering that was taking place in the temple, but then they were breaking bread in their homes. Now this is something that we have to really consider in terms of growing in our relationship with Christ. Because as we grow in our relationship with others, we are growing in our relationship with Christ. So maybe you were in a small group in the past and things happened in your schedule. Maybe there was actually a work change there for you schedule-wise. Maybe something else came up. I know that all kinds of things happen during the course of life that sometimes cause folks to pull out of a small group for a while. And if that's you, I want to urge you to consider getting back into a group. Don't allow yourself to remain in that position for too long, okay? Remember the blessing that it was to fellowship with your brothers and sisters in that type of setting. And if you've never been a part of a small group with us, please know this, that this is the primary way in which we believe God's people are to be discipled, how we grow in our relationship with Christ and with one another. And if you want a list of small groups, those are available out at the information desk. There's a list that tells the nights that they meet, the leader of the group, and we can help put you in contact with that individual. Maybe you might try several different groups to see which one is a good fit for you. But we are doing everything we can to provide a space in a small group for you if you'll give it a try. And I want to urge you to do that, okay? All of this fits under the heading of our fellowship. Now I want to ask you to take your Bible and go to Psalm 42 with me. Would you do that, please? Psalm 42. We were also challenged in a second area, and that is our personal walk with Christ. Our personal walk with Christ. And I want to ask you, my brother, my sister, how are you doing in this area of your life? We need God's grace. We need His power in our lives in order to pursue the mission that He has put before us. We need to spend time daily with the Lord in His Word, in prayer, seeking His face. And I'm here asking you, how are you doing in this area of your life? I put forward a challenge, and the challenge was simply this: seek to spend just 10 minutes with God every day. 10 minutes. Just 10. Think of how much TV we watch every day. Think of all the other things that we allow to come and to influence us. And I put forward a simple challenge, just 10 minutes every day, Bible open, in the Word, praying and seeking the Lord. Now, of course, you know, if you've experienced this, 10 minutes often turns into 15 minutes and then 20 minutes. And before you know it, it's a half hour, right? Because you're just finding so much in that. You're experiencing so much of the Lord and His grace. And I think Psalm 42 really gives us a sense of what I'm trying to communicate here. I think the psalmist here, he puts it in a way that really gets to the core of our hungering to know the Lord and to meet with the Lord. Look at verse 1. He says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." Look at what he says there in verse 2. My soul, what? Thirsts for God. I thirst for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears, they've been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" And then he says, what? "These things I remember," verse 4, "as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng, and I would lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." So yes, there is this corporate aspect of worshiping the Lord, and he's certainly remembering those times of gathering together with the people of God, going to the house of God to worship. But all of this really comes from a what? From a basic hunger or thirst to know God. That's described in verses 1 and 2, this hunger to meet with God. And yes, the church gathers as we're doing. And yes, we should come here with a hunger and a thirst to hear from God and to meet with God. And yet, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, my beloved. The Holy Spirit lives in you as a Christian. And you can now, you and I, we have this great blessing as New Testament, New Covenant, followers of Jesus Christ. We have the very words of God right here. See, when those verses were written by David in Psalm 42, the Word of God wasn't completed at that point. In fact, David was in the process of writing it. They would have to go to the temple to meet with God. But now, as new covenant followers of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And we, in our homes, early in the morning or late at night or sometime in the afternoon, we can open the Word of God. And we can have the very words of God being read by our eyes. And we can allow the Spirit of God to move in our hearts and to lead us into a fresh relationship with our Lord. And I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? I mean, we've got it right here. But how often do we neglect it? How often does it become something that's, "Oh man, I look at the end of my week and I've not spent hardly any time with God this week. And I wonder why I'm irritated, why I'm frustrated, why I'm agitated. I wonder why I'm despondent. Why am I discouraged right now? Why am I angry?" It's because you've allowed all this other stimuli and all of these other inputs and all of these other things that have influenced your heart and your mind and the way you think, and you've listened to this and you've watched that, and there's been hardly any of this. I'm exhorting you right now, I know. I'm reminding you of things that many of you who have known Christ, I'm looking out at faces of people I know, some of you have known Christ for 40 and 50 years, and yet how often do we need these sorts of reminders to come back to the things that are really basic for us? So I'm asking you, how are you doing in terms of your personal growth? Are you spending time with God? If not, here we are, 3/4 of the year. Maybe you did well at the beginning and you've struggled through the summer months, and here we are. All right, time to recalibrate in that area. I challenged us in another area, and I ask you to turn back to the New Testament with me. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. So you got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then there it is, Colossians chapter 3. I challenged us in this area of worship. Our corporate worship, when we gather together corporately as a church family, I urged us to come together with an attitude that says, I am here to encourage others to worship the Lord, and I'm going to do this in how I worship. And I said that one of the things that we have to understand about worship is that there is this corporate nature of it. In other words, today we live in a period of time where among the Christian community, there's almost this idea like my worship is really personal. It's about me, and it's just about me getting alone with the Lord. And there is that. Of course, I just talked about that. But there is this very important component of when the church gathers, when we gather together. There's this idea of being one and being unified, and that when I come, I'm a part of a body, and a part of my responsibility now is to fully participate in what the body is doing. So I should sing with all of my heart. I should give myself to this, not only because I'm honoring the Lord and I want to sing praises to Him, but because my participation in our corporate gathering actually has an effect on the people around me. And I should come with an attitude that wants to encourage. So I sing out. I clap at times. I perhaps even raise my hands and worship the Lord. I enter fully into the times where we're singing and we're worshiping the Lord. In fact, Colossians 3:16 is the verse that we looked at. And it's well known. I know you know this, but let me remind you of it. It says there in Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And then here it is, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And there's our theme verse again. But we're to gather, aren't we? And we're to allow the Word of God to dwell in us. There is to be teaching, and there is to be this admonishing one another in all wisdom. And then, yes, the church of Jesus Christ is commanded by God Himself to sing. Isn't that amazing? To sing. We sing because God tells us to sing. And so I want to bring this back in front of you again, that we might together be a church family that comes with joy and anticipation and a desire to fully be a part of singing and worshiping with our other brothers and sisters in Christ. And then lastly, I encourage us in the area of evangelism and outreach. And for this, I'd ask you to go to Matthew 28 with me. Matthew 28. Verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19. Actually, we'll start in verse 18. It says that Jesus came and He said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Those are our marching orders. We don't have to make it up. We don't have to create it on our own. It's already been given to us. This is what we are to be about. There were some particular ways in which I encouraged us to be about that. at the beginning of the year. One was, if you'll recall, we were going to be offering a personal evangelism class called Way of the Master. Many of you took that. I was so pleased. It's going to be offered again this early 2019. Way of the Master will be offered for those of you who were unable to be in that but wanted to at that time. And those who were and want to be refreshed in it, it will be coming around again early in 2019. Of course, my Bible study is going to be starting next Sunday night, but that will transition in the new year, 2019, into our personal evangelism class, The Way of the Master. I also put forward that we were going to be having a corporate evangelistic effort called Hope for Western Wayne County. And we can now look back on that and we can rejoice because it happened. Amen? It happened, and God blessed that effort, and God blessed the effort of the Way of the Master, and we had these, we called them fishing trips, because Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men, and we're going to have a couple of more, as you heard Pastor Rob, even through the fall. Why? Because I want to keep that theme in front of us. And we're going to do that by God's grace. Again, I want to put in front of you, I mentioned it a few minutes ago, but the International Friendship Center. That's another area in which we seek to evangelize, and we share the gospel through building relationships. And I want to encourage you to continue to pray for the worldwide mission efforts that our church is involved in. And of course, we're so thankful that we actually have some missionaries from our own church that we are going to be sending out here in the days ahead. I mean, God has been so good to us in that. And that, of course, is Andrew and Susanna Shad. And we're grateful for your support in their lives. And we're looking forward to being able to send them as they go to share the gospel with the folks in the country of Spain. So listen, so much to consider this morning by way of reminder. These four areas, our fellowship with one another, our personal walk with Christ, our corporate worship, and our evangelism efforts. I know I've said a lot. Yes, it's been a reminder. But let us together consider how it is that God may want us now to make some adjustments based on the things that we've heard, all right? Let's consider that together. And I hope you'll take that seriously. I hope you'll let the Spirit of God just kind of impress these ideas upon you. And then together, let's move forward by God's grace, strong through the end of this year, 2018, by moving the gospel forward in both what? Word and deed for God's glory. Let's pray. Bow with me in prayer. Lord, we are grateful, so very grateful for your goodness and your grace in our lives. And Lord, often we fall short. We struggle, we wrestle through things, and Lord, we fail you. And maybe it is in some of these areas that have been mentioned this morning, we know that we need to give more effort to one of them or maybe even two of them. And we've been reminded of that, and I pray that you would help us to have a Holy Spirit-led determination, empowered by your grace, empowered by your Spirit dwelling within us to serve you, to worship you, to meet with you, to pray. Draw us close to you in these ways. Lord, would you give us the courage that we need to reach out to the brothers and the sisters that are around us? Maybe there would be one here in this room today who needs a word of encouragement, who needs a friend, who needs a relationship with me, Lord. I pray that we would all take on this challenge. Lord, even in the simple area of eating together and considering being a part of a small group, if we've never been a part or reconnecting if we were at one time but have sort of fallen away from that. Lord, may our place here as we gather together be a place of joyful worship each and every week, and may we be a part of making that happen. You've given us a commission to share the gospel. And yes, it is to be done indeed, but Lord, also in word. And I thank you for those who have been trained in evangelism and those who have been talking of to others of you. Continue to help them and give them the strength to do this. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us, that we would seek you and spend time with you every day, not to neglect that. Thank you for these reminders this morning, Lord, and I pray now that you would help us to go from here, empowered by your Spirit, to honor you in these ways. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.